I think last Sunday, for those of you who were here, we got to hear a little bit from Pastor Dwayne Metzler, who is pastor of University Christian Fellowship, who is also a sister church here in the HopeNet group of churches. And Dwayne, you've been pastoring at UCF for just a little over 20 years, is that correct? Okay. Long time for college ministry. The other connection I have to Dwayne, for those who don't know, is my wife Glenda and Dwayne are brother and sister. So I've been privileged to be a brother-in-law to Dwayne for a little over 20 years. So we are thrilled to have you here again, Dwayne, and hear what God's going to share through you. And before you start, let me just pray for you and ask God to be here this morning. God, thank you for Dwayne. Thank you for his heart to serve, his heart in ministry at the campus of Millersville University. Thank you, God, for the 20 years that you have used him there as a mighty man of God to preach the gospel there, to encourage lives there, young lives to be used in service, and the way that you have used him to see much fruit being born there on the campus. And thank you, God, again for this opportunity that Dwayne can be here this morning. I just pray, God, that you would give him freedom, that you would give him Holy Spirit guidance this morning in every word that he says and things that he communicates to us that you have placed on his heart. God, I pray for a blessing on Dwayne and his wife Chris and their family and their involvement at the campus church at University Christian Fellowship. Continue to bless them, continue to give them vision, and give them great endurance, God. So we commit this morning to you and ask for you to be glorified and honored, that our lives would be touched, that we would encounter you this morning through what Dwayne shares. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Well, it is good to be with you again. As Kevin said, I was here last Sunday, did a brief introduction, and I don't normally get to minister to such a diverse audience as you in age, but it's good to be in this place and to have this opportunity to share with you. And today I'm going to share just something that's always been on my heart, something that's been very special to me in my life, and that has to do with the Father heart of God. And I know last Sunday was Father's Day, and I maybe should have preached this message last Sunday, but it worked out for this week. And I want to share just some things that I understand about God's heart for us and just how it's impacted my life as a father. Last week, as it was Father's Day, and when I got home from church, I had a couple cards waiting for me, and from my daughters, and one of them says, "Dad, you'll always be my number one man," and that just melts my heart. And my other daughter says, "Thank you for being such a godly influence on me and showing me in physical ways how much God loves me." Those are the kind of things that I love, I hold on to, because it's something that just is within me. I can't explain it, but whoever I meet, I just want to ooze the Father heart of God to them, because I believe that if we come into a full understanding of God's love for us and the nature of God as a Father to us, it will set us free, as we sang. It will set us free to run and to dance and to live, because we know that we have this Heavenly Father who loves us so deeply and wants to be in relationship with us. And today, I think if there's two reasons why you might not be in alignment with the Father heart of God. One could be that you simply don't know what the Father's heart is like. And the second one would be that you know what the Father's heart is like, but choose not to be like that or not to receive that. And I can't make you receive the Father's heart today, but I hopefully can show you from Scripture what the Father's heart is like as he reveals himself to us, because that's what God's word is. It is the revelation of God to us. And so today, my prayer is that as we've gathered, we're here to align our heart with the heart of God. That's what I see as one of the purposes of the saints of God gathering together for worship and to meet with God. It's to align our hearts, because you all know that during the week, there are so many things that can come into our lives, and distractions and busyness and work and children and, you know, all the stuff of life happens. And sometimes we get off course a little bit of what God's heart is for us. And so when we come together and we sing the songs and we hear God's word, hopefully it helps us to just align our heart a little bit more to say, God, my heart is now beating with yours. I'm ready to go out again and live for you this week. So as I share today, I also acknowledge that I am not perfect as a father. My children will attest to that. And I can't tell you everything about the Father Heart of God because we'd be here many days. And this whole book, I can't read the whole book to you today. But there's a couple scriptures that I want to share with you today, in particular starting with John chapter 1. Now, I believe that Pastor Ron invited me here today specifically to address a topic that he's been kind of hammering on for months, I hear. If you're a part of Living Hope Church, you know that Pastor Ron's been talking about at least three words that have stood out, as I understand. One is attractional church. He's been talking about being missional as a church, and he's been talking about incarnational church. Attractional church, I remember, it may have started back in December even, this idea of what draws people to the body of Christ so that they will continue to come and receive and hear the word of God so that we're transformed in his presence. So there's that idea of something that draws. Then being missional is sort of the sending part. And last Sunday, the verse that was up here is, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you commissioned two teams, prayed for these mission teams going out. And there's that sense of going into all the world. And then there's this third word being incarnational, which I believe has more to do with coming and staying and being a presence. And that's what I really want to talk about today, because I believe it is the Father's heart that is revealed in Christ Jesus, who came to earth, God incarnate, to live among us, to make a presence among us so that we would know God through Jesus. I want to show you that here in John chapter 1. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Let me just stop there for a moment and try to capture what we're hearing so far. It talks about the Word, and it hasn't yet identified who the Word is, but we come to know that it's the person Jesus. And says this Word was there in the beginning, before anything else existed, meaning he was eternally existing, was God, was in very person God. He was the creator of all things, the giver of life, the sustainer of all things. And then it says this Word is a light in the darkness that can never be put out. Now, just think about this for a minute. This is huge. The Creator, the God, who by his spoken word shattered the darkness with light, who took an empty void of a place and he spoke into existence this universe we live in that is yet unmeasured, more things being discovered. It's incredibly immense and awesome. God has existed from eternity in perfect fellowship as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And somehow, in the midst of this grand universe that God made, he picks this little speck of dust planet called Earth. And he says, I am going to come to that Earth because that is where the crown jewel of my creation lives. This human race into whom I breathed the very breath of God, so that human race has the likeness and image of God upon them. I am coming to that planet so that I can relate to them, because that is the heart of God, to be in relationship with his people. Now that's amazing. That's all being summarized here in these first five verses. This Word that became flesh, coming to earth. This Word who brings life to us. And so verse 6 says that there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light, but came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, get this, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Let me pause right there to say that God, who is the designer of this human race, made us for relationship, made us to be in his likeness and his image, comes to earth, and it says that his own did not receive him. People rejected him because we all know that in this world there is sin. The relationship between human race and God has been distorted, it's been marred, it's been broken because of the sin problems of our world. Imagine a God whose heart so longs for the people. He wants to be in relationship with his people, and the people say, no thanks, not interested. They reject his love. We sang the song, he is jealous for me, loves like a hurricane. I mean, that is just a picture, a start to the love of God toward us. And yet people have rejected him and turned their back on him. And I don't know if you've ever loved someone who rejected your love, but it hurts. In fact, I was reading recently in Genesis chapter 6, and it's a story starting to come up to the flood scene, and it says there that God was grieved in his heart that he had made mankind. That begins to show us the Father's heart that says, I want my people to respond to me. I want my people to be in relationship. I want to have this fellowship with my people. And it grieves the heart of God when that is rejected. That's powerful, to know that the God of the universe wants to be in relationship with us. And so in verse 14, it kind of captures that. This is the key verse that talks about God incarnate. It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I believe this is a key verse that perhaps your pastor Ron has been trying to get through over these past months. Talking about how do we be a people, the people of God? How do we live as a church? How do we impact our communities? I don't have any stick figure people today. I don't have the lights and the halos and the stuff on there. But I want you to just hear the heart of God in this message. And I believe what Pastor Ron has been sharing is that God loves humanity. He loves the people of this world so much that it's not right for us to just come together as those who have received and have this nice, warm, fuzzy feeling Sunday mornings and say, yeah, God loves me, but the poor people out there who reject him, you know, that's too bad, right? And what I hear God saying to us today is that let's get the heart of God for the people that he created because he loves them all. And I believe this thing about the Word becoming flesh, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Other translations say tabernacled among us. I like the message. It says that he moved into our neighborhood. God moved into our neighborhood so that we would have the revelation of what God is like. We could see God in the person of Jesus. And it wasn't just a short-term mission trip. He showed up and lived among us, made his dwelling among us. And the powerful part of the verse is when Jesus Christ made his dwelling among the people is when the people saw the glory of the Father. My challenge to us today, just to get you thinking on this, is that as we live incarnationally, as we become flesh among the people that we're called to, is when people begin to see the glory of God. It may not happen that unbelievers and the lost are going to come in here to this building and experience the presence of God. It may take you going to them and saying, here's my life, I live it out before you, and the power of the Holy Spirit begins to help them see what God is like. This idea of living incarnationally doesn't just happen. Ron asked me to speak because somehow he thinks that University Christian Fellowship is an incarnational church because we meet on a college campus. Now, it's true that at the beginning, in the DNA, in the ideas that started UCF, is that we need to take the church to campus. We can't expect college students to leave campus, go off campus somewhere, and find fellowship in a church. So we took the church to campus. Yes, that is an incarnational movement, to be there in their presence. But let me tell you something about University Christian Fellowship. It is not incarnational because we moved and live and have a building there that we meet in. It's incarnational because of what Christ Jesus has done in our hearts, who say we need to be where the people are that we're trying to reach. In other words, there's a lot of churches, even in Millersville and in some other towns that I could mention, that are in the right place. They're in the right proximity. They have a great location. But if their hearts are not impacted by the Father heart of God, they're just a building in the right place, but they're still not going to impact their community. And so I can tell you today that though we have an incarnational location, it's only because of what the Father's heart is doing in us that gives us that motivation to reach out and minister and serve the people around us. And so you as a congregation can also be incarnational. It's not based on where your proximity of the building is. It simply means that if you have the heartbeat of God resonating in your heart, you're going to be an incarnational people. You're going to make a difference, that people are going to see the glory of God by being around you. It goes something like this. So I'll tell you a few stories from my week. First of all, Monday, I had this awesome experience. This father's heart just burns within me, as I told you. My girls are 16 and 18, so playtime's not quite the same as it used to be when they were little. I don't hold them on my lap as much and stuff like that. So I had this burning in me to have some playtime with a little one. So I actually went to one of the parents of UCF, and I said, could I take your son, your only son, 2 years old, a two-year-old little boy, can I take him for a few hours on this past Monday and give you time to work on a project that she had due for work on Tuesday? And she's like, absolutely, that would be great, because any of you with children know that if you have a two-year-old and a baby, you're not going to get much work done around the house. And so I took this little boy to Long's Park and Chuck E. Cheese. Now, what a blast I had. It was so much fun. We spent probably an hour by the pond over there at Long's Park. He was throwing little pebbles in the water and, you know, tried to feed the ducks and stuff like that. Then we went to the petting zoo, we went to the playground, and then we went to Chuck E. Cheese, which was his first time. And what a fun time. It was therapeutic for me. It was just a highlight. So as the announcement was being made about caring for those toddlers over there, by all means, sign up. I would love to do it too, but not my church. So, So I spent some time with this little toddler, loved it. Also this week, had the experience of going to two weddings, one in which I was the officiating pastor. And when we have weddings at UCF, it's usually some of the young people that are going through college. They've met each other at UCF. It's exciting for me. And my father's heart just kind of rises up with a little bit of pride there and just say, you know, great job. I'm so glad that I could be a part of these people's lives and to see them married together now and begin that next journey of life. It's just very fulfilling. Obviously, to watch my own daughters grow up is just a joy. It's very fulfilling also. I'm telling you these things just to say that none of those really had to do with my role as a pastor. They had to do with my role of who I am as a person, as a father, just living my life out, offering to help people along the way. That's how you be incarnational. Where you live, who you meet, you take the opportunities that God puts before you. Now, there's another scripture I want to share with you, because I believe this shows us again in a summary picture the heart of God. Philippians 2, 6 to 11. Philippians 2, 6 to 11 says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. God's heart being revealed. Jesus having this place with God in the heavenly realms and saying, choosing to come to earth. He did not consider equality with God, that place with God, that position with God, something to be held onto and to be firmly said, no way am I leaving here. But it says he made himself nothing, came to earth as a baby. And we've all heard the Christmas messages on Jesus being born, coming to earth as a baby, and rightly so. But let me tell you, this incarnational God is not just about Christmas season. It is about every day of your life, knowing that God has gone to the fullest extent possible to be in relationship with us. He sent his son Jesus into our earth, to our planet, to restore relationship that was broken because of sin. And then he comes, you know, years later, says, it's good for this Jesus to return to heaven so that I can send my spirit, because Jesus was with us, but the Holy Spirit will be in you. He wants to get so personal, so close, that he now has the Holy Spirit present within us, get this, so that his spirit can tune our spirit to link up with the heartbeat of God. That's how you know what God is like. It's how we get the heart of God in us, is by his Holy Spirit syncing up with our spirit to say, here's the heartbeat of God. Go with it. And so we can actually live life, as Paul writes to the Romans, live life by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has been given to us within. Getting back to our text in John 1, let's finish out here some verses in 15 to 18. It says that John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. We can know the Father through Jesus Christ, and now revealed by the Holy Spirit. God revealing himself to us. You don't have to turn to this, but let me see if any of you know this. The Philippians 2 passage. It started at verse 6, who being in very nature God. Does anybody know what verse 5 says? Right before it. It says, what was it? Okay. Different translations, but your attitude must be the same as that of Christ Jesus, is what verse 5 says. Your attitude must be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Your attitude. This is not a church planting model. It's not a new idea. It's not a strategic idea that just came on the scene. This is an attitude adjustment. If we want to have incarnational living, if you want to be like Jesus, who left the heavens to come to earth so that the glory of God would be revealed, your attitude must be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Let me see if I can illustrate this a little bit. I'm not your pastor. I've been here 2 weeks in a row, but I won't be next week. I won't be the next week. I won't be the next week. So you could say that I am here on a mission. My mission is to preach the word. It might inspire a little bit. It might cause some of you to think about some things a little bit. But I am not here to stay. I'm not incarnational in that sense of moving into your neighborhood. Some people on campus might experience that a little more, because that's where I go almost daily and spend most of my time there. Certainly my family would know me the best because I spend the most time with them. Now, Pastor Ron has been with you since the beginning of Living Hope. I remember because I was around in some of those early discussions. Some of you know that Dave Whitmer and I planted University Christian Fellowship. So I worked with him for about 6 years. And then he said, I'm feeling called to plant a new church. Turned out to be Living Hope Community Church. Dave took with him Dan and Stacy Neff. Some of you know they were part of UCF as students and then joined Living Hope. Rich Morrison was one of your first worship leaders, part of UCF, and we kind of sent that team out. But Ron, Pastor Ron, was part of those early discussions back in 98. I remember being at a summer picnic, and Ron was there as part of this core group that was forming to start a church. Pastor Ron has been here. He has given his life, his ministry, his time. He is among you. So he has made himself incarnational. He lives with you in a sense, in a good way. So he is your pastor, and I believe that if his heart is saying, church, we need to understand this idea of being missional, being incarnational, then grab hold of that. It's on his heart. It's on God's heart. God's wanting us together to live this stuff out. Let me give you just another picture here, because as in some ways, I'm standing up here in the stage. You're all sitting there. You're supposed to be listening attentively and hearing and receiving all that stuff. It feels to me like there's a pretty wide space in between us here, kind of a separation of preacher and audience. Now, what happens is as soon as I come down the stairs and I start walking out among you, some of you might get a little nervous now because I'm getting closer, right? Right? I might ask you something. When I get closer to you, it could mean two things. It could mean I'm going to ask you a question. I might put you on the spot. You might get embarrassed, right? Or it could mean that I care so much about you people that I want to be among you instead of up there. Because up there, I'm at a distance. I'm in a nice, comfortable place. I can look at you. But what does it give a picture of? Okay, so I'm the pastor, but I'm going to say this anyway. It feels to me like there's something about if you're on stage, you might be more important than if you're sitting in a chair. It might give the impression that I know more than you, though that's probably not true. And so why? Anyway, my point being that if I come down to you, and I could even sit among you. Hi, Kevin. If I sit among you, this is a totally different experience, a totally different dynamic of relationship than when I'm up there speaking at you, right? Now, I would love to come around and meet all of you and get to know your names and all that, but I can't, obviously. The point being, though, I believe that represents a little bit of what God's heart did when he sent his son Jesus, because they were at a distance. God was in the heavenly realms. Humans were on the earth doing their thing. God could have just shouted down to earth and say, hey, I love you. But what did he choose to do? He chose to cross the gap between a holy, perfect God and a sinful human race. And he knew that the people could not all go his way. People could not bridge the gap to God, and so God bridged the gap to people. He says, I'm going to be incarnate. I'm going to become one of them, be among them, so that they can know what I'm like. Now, let's take this to the application. I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but there are people living today in this world, yes, in Lancaster County, yes, near this church building, who see this place as a foreign place. They don't know what happens here. They would be uncomfortable if they came here. This is like a whole new world. There are people in Lancaster County who have never been to a church, who have never experienced worship, right? Now, if you're the people, let's say, on the stage, you understand the presence of God, you understand the language, you can talk about sanctification and glorification and hallelujahs and thank you, Jesus, and so forth. But what about those people in your community who know nothing about this God? Do you think they're going to come here? and say, yes, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I'm right there. Okay, my point being, I believe in this world, we, the people of God, need to understand what it means to be those who know God and are willing to bridge the gap to those who don't know God. It's what Jesus did because it was on the heart of God to reveal himself. And so if you want to live with the heartbeat of God, somewhere, sometime, somehow, we need to cross the bridges to the people who don't yet know God. And here's the thing. When you choose to live among them, when you make your dwelling, set up your tent, move into their neighborhoods, they will begin to see the glory of God, even as we just read there in John 1:14. When Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, they saw the glory of God. How will the world know about God? How will they meet this Jesus that we love and worship? It's not going to be coming into this building. It's going to be because we, the people of God, live it in such a way that they say, now that's what I'm looking for. Now, before you say, okay, he's telling us we got to do more. I'm actually saying, don't do more. Stop trying harder and start being the people that we're created to be. Just live among people. Now, I appreciate the mission trips. I've been on some mission trips. It's changed my life in some ways. I'm all for missions, but think about this. Missions is all about going. And if you go on a week or a 10-day mission trip, it can be sort of a romantic vacation type thing. Like, hey, I'm going to Jamaica. I'm going to, you know, wherever. It's a fun getaway. It's like, whew, I'm out of, you know, my job. I'm out of Lancaster County, whatever. And you spend $1,000 and you invest and you go, and what happens? Okay, maybe you build something. Maybe you touch a few lives. Maybe your life is impacted. Okay, not a problem. Let's get beyond missional to being incarnational. Where missional says you have to go, you have to do, you have to be something more. Being incarnational means stay. Being incarnational says move in, put down some roots, plant yourself among a people that you can begin to influence. Because think about this, Jesus was born in this earth. He lived 30 years with no significant ministry. 30 years of just being one of us, building relationships, having a family, eating dinners, working with his dad, whatever. You know, we don't know much about those first 30 years. The point being, though, he just was. He was being more than doing. And then for 3 years, he had an active full-time ministry, we could say. But if you looked at the fruit of that from the immediate fruit of his ministry for 3 years, and he ends up with 12 guys, one who commits suicide, and we'd say that's not a very effective church planting. Probably failed Jesus, right? Let me just say my point. Being incarnational doesn't mean you have to get a seminary degree. It doesn't mean you have to be someone special that makes it to the stage. It means that you live as a follower of Jesus, just with the heartbeat of God beating in you, so that you know how to live and walk by the Spirit right where you are. It means you can be in a mom's group, you can be in school settings, you can be in workplaces, you can be wherever God has you, and just begin to be Jesus in that setting. Just let the heartbeat of God flow out of you so that it touches people around you. Are we okay? Get it? Okay. So when I go to the bank, you all go to the bank, right? The bank could be called one of those third places. There's a man named Alan Hirsch who is kind of a speaker, author, missiologist, kind of prophetic voice in our world today. He talks about third spaces. Third spaces are the places where everybody goes. Not everybody goes to church, and not all of you go to clubs, bars. Some people, like I grew up even being afraid of Lancaster City, so some of you may say, oh, that's not my space. wherever it is that you're not comfortable going, maybe to a Muslim mosque. I don't know if you've ever been there, but that'd be a new experience, right? Well, there are people who think about you the same way. I would never go to that church. That'd be a strange foreign experience. But the point is, we all go to banks. We all go to the Turkey Hills and Sheets and the places. Think about third spaces where everybody goes. Greg doesn't go to Sheets, though, do you? Sorry. Those third spaces is where people who are lost, people who are disoriented spiritually, and you as followers of Jesus, where you link, where you come together. And so, you know, banks have drive-thrus, right? Sometimes it's more convenient. I use the drive-thru occasionally, but I've discovered that if you go in and get to know the tellers, you create a relationship very different than the drive-thru. You could do the same at a gas station, too. It's so easy to just pop the credit card in and leave. You never meet anybody. But if you consistently go in and meet the cashier, you're going to start to know some people. I love when people wear name tags at their jobs, and the banks, you know, the tellers do this. So I'll walk up to a window and I'll say, hi, and call the person by name. Sometimes it takes them back a little bit. But the point being, if you have personal contact on a regular basis, that person becomes somebody in your network, somebody in your relationship, that you begin to be incarnational with them. You begin to connect with them. And so Wednesday morning, I believe, I had a meeting. I was in a restaurant. Never been to this place before. There was five of us guys meeting, and when it was done, I felt led to just go up to the waitress and I said, is there anything I can pray for you today as I am on my way? She said, actually, there is. And she shared with me a prayer request right there in the little restaurant. And then she said, anything I can pray for you? I said, sure. And shared something and off we went. I may never see her again. So in some ways, that's not incarnational. That was more of being a missional moment right there. But the point being, all of us have interactions all the week long. How do we present this person of Jesus that we've come to know and to love in such a way that others begin to feel this heartbeat of God that loves them too? Youth. I know you're out of school for the summer. But high school, it's a crazy world from what I hear. I have two girls in high school. It might be difficult to think about this message of how do I be incarnational? How do I reach my friends for Christ? Let me just say, you don't have to be the weird kind of Christians who, you know, go around with your Bibles and preaching all the time. But I believe that if you move into their neighborhoods, as the message says, live among them, be one of them. You don't have to be crazy, but I bet if you're not cursing and swearing, if you're not doing some of the things that some kids do in high school, they're going to say, what's different about you? Why not? Right? You may have heard people ask that. In other words, the opportunities are there to live it out. You don't have to do a lot of preaching with words, but just be different. Be like Jesus. Live among people, and it becomes a message that they start to see in your life. I want to take a moment here and just spend some time praying, because like I said, I don't think this is like a formula. I don't think there are 7 points I can give you and say, you know, do these 7 things and you're good to go. I believe this is a heart attitude. This is something that you need to spend time with God to capture his heart and to let his vision, to let his purpose of coming to earth, relating to people, let that saturate your heart so that you begin to see people as he sees people. One of the things that I want to just say here clearly, I believe that one of the reasons Jesus was effective in ministry is because he saw people as people, not as a target. If you go on a mission and you make somebody your target, it will stink, because they will know it and you'll know it. And if they say no to your message, no to the gospel, and you leave, you may have left them worse than they were before. You need to move into the neighborhood in such a way that that people know you're not going anywhere. If this relationship changes, it's because you left, not because I left. Be people as people. And if we do that as Jesus did, I believe we're going to connect in some effective ways. Kevin, would you come up and just give us some worship music here? I am impressed by this God. I hope you're impressed by God. This God who created all things. Incredible God. Who could have stayed put in the heavens, in his comfortable surroundings, and said, yeah, my people have just blown it again. Forget them. But instead, he has persisted. He has pursued us. He has come knocking time after time, day after day. And God is still knocking on people's hearts today. He still desires to come in and eat and dine and fellowship with people. I trust that every one of you in this room has experienced that. I can't assume that. But before you leave today, if you have not opened that door to Jesus and said, yes, please come in and love on me and I'll love you back, please do that before you leave today. But as you encounter people this week, wherever you go, whatever people you meet, love them like Jesus did. I've made sort of a personal, I don't know, it's not a goal, but just a personal thought in my mind that whoever I meet, I want them to be better off because they met me. I want them to have some kind of hope, some kind of joy, some kind of sense of God has just spoken something. That was a nice guy. I don't even know who he was, but he made a difference. And so at one of the weddings this week, I told the photographer, I said, you have done a great job at this wedding. Great photographer. I think you found your calling. She smiled. She said, thank you. That means a lot. It's that simple, folks. Affirm, speak truth when it helps. Meet people where they're at. If you are here today and say, okay, how do I align my heart with the heartbeat of God? You really want to do that. I'd like to pray for you. And just so that you put something into this, I'm going to ask, if you want your heartbeat to align with the heartbeat of God and start living incarnationally, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you're at so that I can pray for you and so that it's a commitment of yours before God. This is how I want to live my life. If you want to do that, just stand up, please. God, it's one thing to stand, it's one thing to make that posture change, but I pray that it represents hearts right now, that across this room, every person standing or those who are unable to stand, God, that there would be something happening in our hearts of an attitude adjustment that says, God, I want my attitude to be like that of Christ Jesus, who was willing to leave some comforts, who was willing to go beyond just a short-term mission to be among us and to be a people that demonstrate and show forth the glory of God. Lord, I pray that this congregation collectively would see such an outpouring of the Spirit Monday through Saturday that it surpasses what happens here on Sunday. That the glory of God, the experience, the presence of God that we had here today would be surpassed during the week because the multitudes here are proclaiming your truths, proclaiming your love, and demonstrating it through their actions. I ask, God, that you would free us from any guilty burdens of having to do more and just saying, Lord, let me be who you've called me to be right where I am. That we don't all have to go out of the country, but we can be incarnational right where we're at. Thank you that we can stay and be a missionary as well. And so, Lord, I pray that this church fellowship, this body of believers, would be a light in this community, would demonstrate that glory of God, and God, that our our landscape, our spiritual landscape in this area would be transformed because the people of God are living it out on the streets. We praise you, God. Thank you for your heart. And today, Father, we ask that you would just line our hearts up with your heartbeat, oh God. So that we even sense that heart beating within us, that as we meet people, we know exactly what to do because we're being led by the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I ask that you dismiss us now with just the anointing of the Spirit flowing over us, filling us afresh, communicating your heart with us. God, so that as we go in the peace of God, we go with the purpose of God in our hearts as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your heart. As we dismiss, I'm going to ask if anybody would like personal prayer for something, feel free to come up here. The prayer team is welcome to come and just minister as well. It's been good to be with you. God bless you. Have a great day and a great week.